Red Wednesday is a very new phenomenon in the church. It says here that it was launched in 2015, so that's not even 10 years. And in the beginning, I don't know who heard about it. I don't think we heard about it. I have the impression that it became better known, ironically enough, because of the pandemic. Because with the pandemic, things that were happening in different places suddenly were being broadcast online, and people were watching church events online. And part of this Red Wednesday is the lighting up of churches and Catholic institutions with red lights. So if that happened before the pandemic, who would know about it? Who would even notice? But now that everything is being broadcast all the time, everyone knows, or it's easy to know. So this observance, Red Wednesday, it's not a liturgical event, but it's a church event. And the church in the Philippines has endorsed it. It says here that it was endorsed in particular by the Bishops' Conference in 2020. And here in the Diocese of Parañaque, last year we had a circular letter about it. And this year we had not only a circular letter, but posters and things to be distributed and streamers. And a whole developed liturgy for the day, although most of it is just a liturgy of the day. I think it's about 40 pages long. I printed a few of the pages for our Prayers of the Faithful. In other words, the church is really taking, at least in the Philippines, is taking this very seriously, this Red Wednesday. You might have seen the note printed in the Anuam Way about this. Red Wednesday is a day of reflection and prayer in solidarity with our brothers and sisters across the globe who are persecuted simply for their faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the whole purpose of this. Reflection, prayer, solidarity with our persecuted brothers and sisters. In the Ordo, it recommends that we use the votive mass for persecuted Christians, as I announced at the beginning, so that's what we're doing. Votive mass for persecuted Christians. It also says that there should be a special collection for persecuted Christians. We didn't announce that, so let's just make our collection of today's Mass, let's just dedicate that to persecuted Christians. It also recommends the wearing of red. I guess many of you got that message because so many people are wearing red today. And this recommendation of illuminating the church, the facade of the church, with red light. Now, we don't have a facade and we're not around at night, so we're not doing that, but some churches are doing it. And the national observance of Red Wednesday is being held at the Shrine of Our Lady of Manawag in Pangasinan. So if you want to watch that live, it will be a live streamed tonight. Then there's candlelight prayer service after the Mass and different things. Now, you might wonder why, if it's Red Wednesday and everyone is encouraged to wear red, why the priest is wearing green and why the sanctuary is green. And the reason for that is it's not a liturgical feast. And the guidelines for votive masses, at least for a votive mass for persecuted Christians, is to use the color of the day or of the season. So we're in ordinary time, so the color is green. It might never be appropriate to use red as a liturgical color in a mass for persecuted Christians. It's a little bit ironic. But if it's ordinary time, it's green. If it's going to be in Christmas or Easter, it would be white. If it's in Lent or Advent, it would be purple. The only time we use red, almost the only time we use red, is for martyrs. And this is not, we're not honoring the martyrs here. We're honoring people who are still alive and being persecuted. So that's why green, liturgically, but red, devotionally, or you could say socially. It says here in the note in the Anuam Way that as of last year, there were approximately 250 million Christians worldwide who live in environments where they face violent persecution, discrimination, or restrictions on practicing their faith. And last year, an estimated 5,621 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. It lists different countries where the persecution is especially severe. there are Filipinos in all these countries, and I have a feeling that Philippines is taking this seriously because Filipinos are on the front lines of a lot of persecuted places where persecution takes place. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anyone else who's taking this quite so seriously. In the United States, I think it's completely ignored. Of course, they're caught up in Thanksgiving and all that. Today is the big travel day in the United States. I think it's the biggest travel day of the year, so they can't be gathering and lighting candles and stuff. They're all on the road or in the air. But let's reflect a little bit about this prayer for persecuted Christians. From the earliest times, the church has honored the martyrs, people who are killed for their faith. And that's appropriate because the martyrs are our heroes. They are the victors. Today's first reading is not only for martyrs, but it is the song of the victors. This is what people who are in glory already experience. They are standing on this sea of glass, maybe crystal. They are rejoicing in the victory of the Lamb, and they participate in the victory, and they sing this song. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. So there's no lamenting, there's no sorrow about being martyred or about being persecuted in heaven. It's great, it's wonderful. It's something to praise God about. Great and wonderful are all your works, Lord mighty God. So the church has this peculiar approach to martyrdom that, yes, evil things should not be done, injustices should not be committed, Christians should not be killed, but they are killed, and they do suffer, and when they are martyred, we celebrate. It's a little bit, if you don't have faith, it's really weird. Well, this day is not a day to celebrate the martyrs. It is a day of prayer and recognition and solidarity for the persecuted. People are still here. Reflection, prayer, and solidarity. It's something to reflect on because this is not a protest event. This is not a rally against the evil being done against our brothers and sisters, which that is a legitimate thing to do when there's an injustice or there's a corruption or there's legislation being proposed or there are people who are suffering. Yes, we can rise up in communal action and protest against the wrong being done. But that's not what this is. And you might wonder, well, why not? Isn't it a bad thing and shouldn't we fight against it? Well, yes. Yes, it's a bad thing. And yes, we should fight against it. But we're more nuanced than that because it's also part of being a Christian. Jesus himself, this is today's gospel, and this Red Wednesday is chosen to be honored on this day because of this gospel, where Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. You will be persecuted because of my name. So we can hardly say this should never happen and make a protest against it happening. If Jesus himself said it would happen and that we shouldn't even worry about it. So it's a delicate balance. We never affirm sin, injustice, wrongdoing. It's always wrong and it should be opposed. But the cross of Jesus Christ changes our perspective on everything. The scandal of the cross. Remember when Jesus announced his passion to the disciples, the one who protested was Peter. No, Lord, that should never happen. God forbid that that should ever happen. And Jesus put Peter in his place. Get behind me, Satan. This is the way it's going to happen. This is the way it's supposed to happen. This is what I'm going to do. And my followers are going to participate in my passion, death, and resurrection. And that's the way it is. So this gospel today, you might notice, is not a warning against this. He's not saying, oh, don't do this because something bad's going to happen. He's not saying, be frightened and go another direction. No, he's saying it kind of matter-of-factly. Well, this is how it is. I want you to know the whole story. This is what they're going to do. It's very difficult. It's a heavy cross. This is what it's going to be. But it will lead to you giving testimony. I mean, it will be an opportunity for you to proclaim the gospel, to make known the great and wonderful things of the Lord. So it's bad, but it's not all bad. Actually, there's something good about it. And then he says, it's going to be really bad. Even your own relatives are going to turn you in. Some of you are going to be put to death because of my name. You'll be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. You see what he's doing here? He's setting up the kind of irony or the paradox of the evil and the good. The evil is being done to Christians because they're Christians. That's the persecution. It's not just any evil being done. It's because they're Christian. And then, but the Christians are going to come out of it completely unscathed, not a hair of their head. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. And you might say, since the liturgy puts this gospel together with this first reading, by your perseverance, you will sing, great and wonderful are the works of the Lord. You see, there's something different in our approach to suffering than even in the Old Testament. Remember, in the Old Testament, there are lots of suffering. The people of God often suffered. And when they did, they usually came to the awareness that their suffering was because of their own unfaithfulness to the covenant. Why were we persecuted? Why were we overrun with Philistines or Babylonians or Chaldeans or whoever? Oh, it's because we didn't follow the Lord. It's our own fault. That's a lot of the Old Testament reasoning about suffering. And it's true. That is how God trained his people by suffering so that they would be purified and be faithful. But it's not a complete explanation, because what about the suffering of people who are not guilty? This is the whole book of Job. What about me, Lord? I didn't do anything wrong, and you're making me suffer. And the answer to Job is, you don't understand it. It's a profound book, but it's a difficult one. I don't understand it. Okay, Lord, I put my hand over my mouth, and your will be done, but I don't get it. That's the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's the cross of Jesus Christ which sheds light on all suffering and makes it valuable. It's a very mysterious thing. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus says, this is going to happen, and it's an opportunity for you to give testimony, to bear witness. And don't prepare your defense ahead of time, because I'll provide for you. It's like saying, don't worry about it. Know it's going to happen. Be realistic. Don't pretend everything is bed of roses. This is a time of suffering. It's a time of a cross. But don't worry about that. Stay with me. Follow me. Persevere. So that's what we're praying for in this day of Red Wednesday. We're praying for the perseverance of our brothers and sisters. We're praying for the end of persecution. Yes. But we know that's not going to happen. There's going to be persecution until the end of the world. So, yes, we want the relief of their suffering. We want the defeat of evil. But we also, and even more, want the perseverance of the good. Because in times of persecution, if the Christians persevere with faith, the ones who are at greater risk are the persecutors. It's much worse to sin than to be a victim of other people's sin. It's much worse. So we pray also for those who do the persecuting, because they're at serious risk themselves. Now, it says that there's 250 million people in danger or at least under persecution, and it lists all these countries. The one that I know best is Nigeria, because I've been there and I know about some Nigerian friends. it's a little bit hard to measure persecution, because the motives of the persecutors are sometimes mixed. A couple of weeks ago, I was with the Somaskans, and they have a center or an orphanage in Nigeria, and one of their priests got kidnapped. One of the missionaries, he's an Italian, so he was kidnapped. This happens a lot in Nigeria. Priests especially are at risk of being kidnapped. So this priest was kidnapped by some Fulani herdsmen, and he was beaten and cut his head, and he apparently fainted from the mistreatment. And then the kidnappers apparently thought he was dead, and they just left him there, and they abandoned him. So was that persecution because he was a Christian, or was that kidnapping for ransom? Maybe both. I mean, but they probably would grab anybody they thought would be able to make them some money. And once he died, well, then he's of no value to them. He was abandoned. Well, he woke up in the woods and found himself all by himself. And he got up and walked back to the orphanage. and then they took him to the hospital and got him treated. The Samaskan told me that the official report from the police was that the police rescued him from the kidnappers. But what really happened was the kidnappers abandoned him, and he walked himself back to wherever he was living, and his own community took care of him. And then it was reported to the police. Anyway, I mention this because it's hard to know what's going on. But now the Somaskans tell this story as a kind of joke. Like, this is a funny thing that happened to one of our confreres. He got back, and he's still serving there. You know, it didn't defeat him. So it's one of these things. I mean, don't be intimidated by persecution. Don't think it's a good thing. But on the other hand, don't think it's the worst thing. Be united with them. Pray for them. Pray for the victims. And stand in solidarity for persecuted Christians. So that's what we're doing today. The theme of the Red Wednesday this year, embracing persecuted, oppressed, and needy Christians. So that's what we're doing with this liturgy and with this day. It's a time of solidarity. We're not forgetting them. We're not abandoning them. We are united with them in Jesus Christ, that their suffering will bear fruit for them and for the world. That the scandal of the cross will produce the victory of the cross, the glory of the cross, and that our persecuted brothers and sisters will join with the whole church in this joyful proclamation. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations.